I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Baptisms are always very tender moments, whether it's an itty-bitty little baby or an adult that is being baptized. Now, there are a number of baptisms that I've either been a part of or witnessed in my life that have been memorable, but there is always one that I will never, ever forget that sticks out in my memory. During my senior year of seminary, I was assisting at the Easter Vigil service for my field education parish, St. Paul's in Alexandria, Virginia. And that night, I witnessed the baptism of three adults, two brothers and one of the brothers' wife. The three were from Iran, and they were in the United States seeking religious asylum. They had left the rest of their family and their jobs and really their entire lives behind back in Iran. And on a walk through Old Town Alexandria one day, they just happened to stumble upon St. Paul's Church. They visited, got to know some of the people, got to know a couple of the priests there, and they knew that they had found a home for themselves. And shortly thereafter, asked to be baptized there at the church. That night, I can tell you that there were not too many dry eyes in the house as we all witnessed the Spirit move in the lives of these people and in that church. We witnessed how the Spirit led them there and how God brought them to a new church home and a new life in Christ in their baptism. That night, all of the prayers that we said in our baptismal liturgy, all of the words that we recited and read, took on a new weight. They had a new meaning. And the power of God was very present. And we witnessed together just how tied together, just how connected we all are through baptism. Now, today's lesson from Luke reveals to us what baptism is and what it means for us as Christians. The funny thing is, Luke leaves out the actual baptism of Jesus, instead just picking up right afterwards, which is interesting since today we celebrate and commemorate the baptism of Jesus, but we don't actually get to see it or hear it. In this seemingly odd move by Luke, why leave out the baptism? Why just brush over what seems to be the most important part of the story? Well, it's because Luke's focus in his gospel account and in his writings in Acts puts the spotlight on what Jesus does immediately afterward. Notice what Jesus does before he goes off and starts his ministry, before he goes and tells his parables, before he confounds the religious authorities. Notice what he does before he gains his following. Jesus prays. All throughout Luke, we see Jesus praying at his baptism, before he calls his disciples, at the time of his transfiguration, at his arrest, and at his death on the cross. Jesus prays. Luke's focus on prayer continues in Acts as we see the apostles praying constantly. Luke doesn't mention these times of prayer just to say, oh, by the way, they prayed. But he talks about these moments of prayer to God, these moments of turning to God, turning to the heavens, and finding that connection with our Creator. Luke tells us throughout his writings in the beginning here at Jesus' baptism about the essential nature of the connection that we have with God. The beauty of it is that after Jesus is baptized, he is seemingly compelled to prayer. It's like there is no other choice but to look up and pray to God in heaven. Really, that's the way baptism works, I think. At our baptism, we are compelled by God. We are brought into a new relationship. We are pulled away. We are pulled into a new way of being with God and with one another. We are pulled out of the way of this world, a world that tells us that we don't need the things of God, that we can do it on our own. A world that tells us we're not quite good enough, tells us we don't have enough or that we don't belong. In baptism, we are pulled out of that world and brought into a new life and relationship with a God who tells us, just as he told Jesus that day, "You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." I grew up at Church of the Ascension in Montgomery, as many of you know, and it was the church that I was baptized in, and it was the only church I knew growing up. I remember as a little kid, I loved to run up and down the long hallways on all the floors. I knew well which stairs led to which parts of the church. I knew that place like the back of my hand. I knew the best hiding spot for hide-and-go-seek, which was in the old children's library on the third floor, back in between the old couch and the shelves. No one could ever find me there. I won all the time there. One of my favorite places in all of the church, though, was a favorite of just about all of the children. It was a place where all the kids, no matter what age, always seemed to end up on a Sunday morning. And that was the classroom of Miss Zita. Miss Zita taught the preschool Sunday school class for years and years and years in the same classroom. She was the sweetest lady who always greeted you with a hug and a smile no matter who you were. She taught the preschoolers, but it didn't matter how old you were. If you went down to see her and say hello, you would get what she called medicine money. Now, if you got your medicine money, you were in good shape, because it meant that you had exactly 2 quarters, and you could go down the hall to the Coke machine, because that's all it cost, just 50 cents. And I'll tell you what, there was nothing better than a medicine money Coke. I'll tell this story because I think Miss Zita had it right. Miss Zita saw us all the way that God sees us. She saw us each as worthy of love and worthy of relationship, and that you were never too old, you were never too grown up to get your medicine money. No matter if our lives were simpler, like a preschooler, or if they were maybe a little more complicated, like a teenager, she saw each of us as beloved. How might our lives be different if we lived according to that knowledge? How might our identity as a beloved one of God change the way we treat one another? How might we live differently in this world? How might we give differently? How might we choose what we say to one another differently? How might we treat the stranger? How might we treat ourselves? If we remembered that God loves all of us because he created us. In just a few minutes, we will renew our vows given at our baptism as we say together the words of the baptismal covenant. And in doing so, we will remind ourselves and one another of the connection that we have to God and to one another. We will remind ourselves of what it means to be the beloved of God. So when we say these words together, I want to invite you all to think deeply and prayerfully about what it is that we're saying, and think about what kind of life that God is calling us into as his beloved. Think also about the fact that we're saying the baptismal covenant not just individually, but together as a community of the baptized. We are saying together what we believe and how we believe God compels us to live among one another in relationship. Not just the people in this room right now, though, but also the people outside these doors. Because there are people who are looking for a community like ours. Because believe you me, there are people in our community who are hurting, who are looking for a place to belong. People who are searching for meaning. People who are searching for connection. And a reminder that they too are loved and worthy of love. My prayer today is that we will all try to listen deeply to the words that we will say here in just a minute. Try to listen deeply and hear what speaks to you. What are these words? What are the words that are calling to you, to the deepest parts of your soul? And lastly, how are you being compelled by God in the words of our baptismal covenant? How is God calling you to Himself? How is God calling you to a deeper connectedness with God and with one another as His beloved, in whom He is well pleased? Amen.